When I was in high school, admittedly a long time ago, it was said that fathers gave their daughters a dime when they went out on a date on Friday night in case they needed to find a payphone to call home. Now, by the time my children were old enough to date, payphones cost a quarter. And quite frankly, I haven't used a payphone in so long now, I don't know how much they cost. The fact is, though, that many parents today wouldn't think of letting their daughters go out without taking a cell phone with them. In fact, a teenager these days without a cell phone is a little bit of a rarity. Now, hold on. I'm not making a case for it or against it, teenagers, so don't quote me in your sales pitch to your parents and saying, the preacher says all teenagers have cell phones. I'm just simply remarking on the facts. I will admit that at least from the way I see it, one powerful explanation for cell phone popularity among those who can afford it for their kids is the very important matter of staying connected. As much as we'd like to say that things are no different from the way they were when I was a kid, you know, you've heard it, 3 miles to school, in the snow, barefooted, uphill both ways. Actually, things are different now from when I was in school. Things are a lot different. And in some ways, I can see some positive aspects to the staying in touch any time of the day or night argument for cell phones. But I have noticed also that teenagers, I think, stay connected with friends probably more than they do with their parents. In fact, according to T-Mobile, AT&T, Verizon, and Sprint, the average teenager sends and receives about, or at least, I guess is more accurate, 6,500 text messages a month. 6,500. That's a lot of text messages. And I've seen you kids do that. I have no idea how you can do it. I mean, I have to do it like this. Kind of like typing, you know? In fact, you get a room full of kids together and just watch them for a while, and they're just constantly texting. One hand busy with that cell phone, maybe carrying on a verbal conversation with someone else or doing something else or even eating, it's anything, and they're always with that cell phone in the hand sending or receiving a text message. And that's not all a bad thing. I mean, it's not necessarily all bad. If it were, we'd stop it, right, parents? But with all this staying connected business, the important question is, who am I staying connected with? In fact, if you could get your cell phone out right now, I don't want you to do this, but if you could, and if you were to look at it, who would be in your recent calls list or your recent texts lists? Now, wait a minute. Don't just look at the names. I'm asking who would be there when you look beyond the names. Think about the people behind those names. Think about who they are, what kind of people they are, what kind of character do they have, what kind of reputations do they have, what kind of influence in your life do they wield. Well, it looks like the technology is here to stay. In fact, this PowerPoint presentation, I decided, looks almost like a cell phone commercial. Smartphones, cell phones, every kind of phone imaginable. So many different names, I'm afraid to start trying to name some of them. We're stuck with it. And so maybe we ought to give some serious thought to the kinds of connections that we're making. And as I said this morning, this is not just for the young folks, young and old alike. Let's consider, first of all, some bad connections that we must avoid. If you got your Bible, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1. In fact, you need to turn there and just hold the place, because that's where we're going to be spending most of our time. We may go back and forth a little bit, but it'll mostly be from Proverbs chapter 1. In verses 8 and 9, Solomon mentions two very important voices, and that is the voices of our parents, your mother and your father. We're going to come back to that in a few minutes and talk more about that. I want you to look, though, at verse 10. Verse 10 mentions another voice that young people and, in fact, everybody hears. He says, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent." Now, that's pretty strong language, and most of us probably don't look over our friends and categorize them immediately as saints or sinners. I'm not saying that it wouldn't be a good idea to probably do a little more of that than we do, but that's not our first thought. But when you think about it in those terms, it kind of wakes you up to the need to be more attentive to the kind of people who are contacting us. Maybe it's the kids in the neighborhood, or the kids at school, or the guys on the ball team. And if they fit into that category that Solomon mentions here in verse 10, sinners, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Some of them may very well be just a little misguided, or perhaps untaught, and have really no good home background upon which they can fall or lean in order to get the good, solid teaching and Christian influence that most of you young folks have been able to have for many years. Some of them may be just a little bit mischievous, and every now and then a little bit of fun goes too far or goes the wrong way, and somebody gets into trouble. But then there are those at the same time, and don't deny that this is the case, there are some who are just simply out for no good, and they are perfectly happy to try to pull you in and take you down with them. Now, the young people in Solomon's day had the same kind of problem that young people have today in our day. It could be argued that there may have been a different type or a different set of sins and problems, but the fact is, bad people try to influence other people to go along with them in the things that they do. Notice how he elaborates beginning in verse 11. They will say, "Come with us. Let's ambush and kill someone. Let's attack some innocent people just for fun. Let's swallow them all alive as death does. Let's swallow them whole as the grave does. We'll take all kinds of valuable things and fill our houses with stolen goods. Come join us and we'll share with you the stolen goods." Now that's reading from the New Century Version, which puts it a little bit plainer, I think, and in more modern terminology than what we're accustomed to hearing. And Solomon seems to be putting an emphasis on the temptation to be enticed to join a gang or something and go out and kill somebody. Well, I know that's not the kind of thing that appeals to most of our young people today, and we're thankful for that, but the principle of the matter is, whatever it is, if it's wrong, whatever level it's on, so far as mischief or criminal or murder, those are not the only three categories. The principles are the same. I fall back up to verse 10. The point is, when sinners entice you, do not consent. Maybe it's a group of friends trying to persuade you to go to a movie that mom and dad wouldn't want you to be found at. Maybe it's a boyfriend or a girlfriend who's trying to talk you into having sex. Maybe it's a friend who wants to try to talk you into lying to your parents about where you're going Friday night and what you're going to do. Maybe it's a friend who's always talking about crude things and always trying to get you to join in to that conversation. Girls, it could very well be a boy who's trying to get you to take inappropriate or explicit pictures of yourself with your camera phone and email them to him, or worse yet, post them on Facebook. Maybe it's someone who just doesn't care about God or spiritual things. And the more you hang out with them, the less you care about spiritual things. The point is, the voice is out there. It's the voice of the crowd who's doing wrong, trying to get you to go along with them. Now, let's go back again to the names in your address book, your recent calls menu, your recent texts. Are there people like that on the list in your phone? Have you been telling yourself that you can be friends with them, but you won't let them lead you off into something that's wrong? Have you been promising yourself that you can resist, and after all, I can be a good influence on them? That's a good point. But this is not the point or the place that it needs to be made. Are the people that you call and text regularly, the people that you're connected with, are they the kind of people who'll help you get to heaven? Or are they part of the other voice that constantly tugs at you, trying to pull you away from God and into conversations and conduct that are just plain wrong? Look at your list and see who's on it. If there are names there that don't belong, for you as a Christian, you need to do something about that. God's Word warns us that associating with the wrong kind of people will cause us eventually to be like those people. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, again reading from the New Century Version, "Do not be fooled. Bad friends will ruin good habits." The truth is, there are some people out there that you just absolutely cannot be friends with. "Oh, but that's so hard," you say. Indeed, it is. Solomon gives us a little bit more incentive as we continue reading in Proverbs chapter 1. Beginning with verse 15, he says, "My son or my child, do not go along with them. Do not do what they do. They are eager to do evil and are quick to kill. It is useless to spread out a net right where the bird can see it, but sinners will fall into their own traps and they will only catch themselves." All greedy people end up this way. Greed kills selfish people. That's going through verse 19. Rejecting God and choosing sin only leads to trouble and misery. Nothing good will come of it. There are some bad connections out there that we must avoid. If we've made them, let's terminate them and do our best to be careful who we connect with. Now let me give you three connections that you need to make. Number one, you need to connect with mom and dad. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. I told you we'd go back to those two verses in a few minutes. We're there now. Proverbs 1, verse 8. "My child, listen to your father's teaching and do not forget your mother's advice." Now, granted, the Bible makes a couple of assumptions here. Number one, the Bible assumes that mom and dad are going to be Christians, that they're going to be giving good advice. And I understand that that's not always going to be the case. There are going to be some exceptions to that general rule, but the general rule is young people need to listen to their parents. That's what God says. Young people do need Christian parents. The other assumption that the Bible makes there is that mom and dad will both be present, and I'll be the first to admit that these days we got to own up to the fact that in some family situations that is not, sadly, that is not the case. Mom may not be there, or dad may not be there. It may be that dad lives somewhere else and that it takes a while to go see him or to communicate with him. There are many circumstances that young people are faced with in the matter of growing up and developing. Circumstances that in so many cases have been brought on by parents, by adults who didn't do the right thing. And sometimes we hear young folks want to make excuses for themselves, and they say, "Well, I didn't have a good home, or my mom and dad are divorced, and my folks are separated, or my dad never was there. My dad left us when I was two," or, you know, on and on the things go. And let me tell you first of all that those are sad, sad stories. I wish that they didn't have to be true as often as they are, but the fact is that in many cases, that's the truth about some families. But let me also say this to all of our young folks. No matter what your home situation, if you're here right now within the sound of my voice, you're in the right place and you're surrounded by the right kind of people who love you and care for you very much and want you to have the right kind of influence, the influence that you need to grow up to be the kind of person that God wants you to be. Take advantage of situations just like, I don't mean in a bad way, but you know what I'm talking about when I say avail yourself of the opportunity to be surrounded by godly Christian people who love you and who care for you, who honor God's word and want to see you exposed to it and benefit from it. But if you've got a normal family at home, God's word is telling you that there is a very important connection that you need to make with mom and dad. Listen to your father's teaching and do not forget your mother's advice. Parents, there's a responsibility there for us as well, equally as strong as the responsibility that's placed upon children, in some ways even stronger, because we are adults. We are at the point of responsibility in our lives where we should be at our peak. Let's make sure that our young people can take advantage of the kind of godly counsel and advice that Christian parents need to give. Young people, don't shut your parents out. I know they're old-fashioned. I know they don't understand things like computers and cell phones and DVDs and all of those other alphabetical things that just seem to be beyond most of us who are over 50. But listen, they love you. And they're answering to God for you, for the way that you're living now as a young person. They're being held accountable for your training. Listen to them. The Bible says, listen to them. That's God's instruction. That's what God is telling you that you must do. Listen to your parents. There's a second reason why young folks need to make the connection with mom and dad, and it's there in verse 9. Verse 9 of Proverbs 1 says, their teaching will be like flowers in your hair or a necklace around your neck. Now hold on, I know that's archaic language so far as many of us are concerned, but take it from me, trust me, those are good things. That's the Bible's way of saying those are great assets, very important things, really needful things. Things that will benefit you. And so God says, number one, listen to your parents because I said so. Heard that before? Number two, God says, listen to your parents because it's good for you. They know better than you know. Number two, you need to connect with godly friends. Look around you right now. Connect. As I said a few minutes ago, you're in the right place right now. Maximize the opportunities to benefit from being a part of this group of young people. Connect with them. Seek the right kind of people for your friends. Go to Bible studies and devotionals, singings. That's right. You might be surprised how many godly young people would be there. Or even to the services of a gospel meeting. Encourage your parents. Give them a heart attack. Say, hey, Mom and Dad, how about we go to the meeting next week over at such and such place? Trust me, they'll be shocked. But follow through. Go to the places where the right kind of young people are. Do the kind of things that the right kind of young people do. And don't give me that old pitch about there just aren't any Christian young people around. Don't wait for someone else. Take the initiative. Don't shut each other out. Don't judge or be harsh toward one another. Evaluate one another's behavior on the basis of God's evaluation. Not on whether they come from rich family or poor family, not on the basis of whether they're popular at school or not, not on the basis of how many neat things they have, but on the basis of godliness. Having trouble? Ask for help. As dangerous as the wrong crowd is, the right crowd is just as valuable. Number three, you must connect with God. This is our most important connection. Without this one, the other good ones won't be near as good as they could be. Without this one, actually, in many cases, the bad will seem to be good and the good will seem to be bad. Jesus died to make this connection possible for you and for me. His blood removes the barriers that stand between us and God, barriers of sin. God wants to be someone in your life that you can depend on in times of difficulty. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, "Be humble under God's powerful hand so that He will lift you up when the right time comes. Give all your worries to Him because He cares for you." That's what God's Word says. And that's what God means. Connect with God. But listen, it's not a cell connection. It's a life connection. Obedience. Daily prayer. Worship. Study. Walk. Day in. Day out. Day and night. For the rest of your life. If you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, you need to do it today. If you have, but if you've turned back into sin, this is the time to set things right. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation, we invite you to respond as we stand and sing.